Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Peter Appel, Administrator of the Research and Innovative Technology Administration within the U.S. Department of Transportation. Also joining us from IBM is Kunal Saravanshi. Peter, you've mentioned traffic congestion and the deleterious effect it has. I think it's on the order of $87.2 billion annual drain on the U.S. economy, Americans wasting some 4.2 billion hours in traffic each year. Would you tell us about Reader's efforts to reduce traffic congestion, enhance mobility, and sustainable communities?
Well, to come back again to intelligent transportation systems, one of the primary goals of intelligent transportation system is to provide information to drivers that can contribute to reduction in congestion, whether it's alternative routes or the fact that that grade crossing is about to come down and maybe you shouldn't take that route. And so ITS is one area, but another area kind of very much related to ITS is just better and more well-thought-out transportation planning decisions. And a good example of that is something that is being done up in New York right now. It's just up in New York for a ceremony calling attention to something they call quite simply the off-hour delivery program. And what that was a partnership between the New York City Department of Transportation and RPI, a university, and a consulting firm, and a number of folks that needed to do deliveries in Manhattan, whether it be Foot Locker or Whole Foods or other companies. They all got together and said, you know, trucks in Manhattan are caught in congestion all the time. We need to figure out how to get more efficient at making these deliveries. And we need to make use of the best available information to do it. So RITA, our agency, funded this partnership with a grant program through something called our Commercial Remote Sensing Program to help with this very analytical and technologically advanced effort to optimize the times of delivery. And that included using devices in vehicles that would relay the information about where the vehicle was at what times of day and how fast it was moving and where it got stuck, that could be used for analysis to help plan for efficient deliveries. So that program had remarkable impacts for a very simple concept and a simple approach. And we want to do more of that kind of thing. And we want to do more of what we consider to be the core purpose for why RITA exists, which is to ensure that transportation decisions are made based on sound science and rigorous analysis. We want to make sure people have the right information to make decisions. We want to make sure they're using the best possible technology and leveraging the best possible science. And the kind of congestion relief that can result from that is tremendous. Advancing safety, as I talked about, reducing collisions with the kind of research we're doing in safety is also going to contribute to congestion relief. And helping transportation customers figure out the right mode of transportation to use for a particular trip is also going to reduce congestion. If we make people aware that there is a bus coming 7 minutes later and that it's on time and that you can find a place in the parking lot of that bus terminal or that transit station, making that information available to the user efficiently and effectively will reduce congestion because essentially it gets back to that core challenge that I talked about at the very beginning, which is how do you make sure that all this capacity we have is appropriately matched with all this demand we have? The advent of technology helps us do that, and when we do that, significantly reduces congestion.
I'd like to explore the environmental impact of, say, congestion. And what research is RITA pursuing to advance bio-based and alternative fuels? And what are some of the critical challenges you face in this area?
Well, we are involved in a number of different aspects of research in alternative fuels. Our work up at the Volpe Center up in Cambridge lends key support to the FAA in their commercial aviation alternative fuels initiative, We also are part of the cross-agency biomass research and development board looking at, in particular, the applications of biomass and biofuels in transportation. And there's some remarkable advances going on. Boeing had came to see us a few months ago and talked about the use of biomass in commercial aircraft and their ability today to take off and land an airplane based almost completely on biomass. It's not something way off in the future. It's something that we can see right up the road. And so, yes, very, very promising. There are a lot of issues to address. How safe is biomass fuel-based fuel? How do we make sure we keep it safe? How do we transport that fuel safely? One of the challenges we face in our overall transportation system is the transportation of dangerous things, such as fuels. Are our pipelines best equipped to deal with alternative fuels? And if not, what do we need to do to position them? We're doing research in all of these areas. We're supporting the Sun Grant Initiative, which is a national network of land-grant universities doing federally funded work, primarily in their agriculture programs, on alternative fuels based on agriculture here in the U.S. So it's an exciting area to be involved with, and we're fortunate to be involved in a number of different aspects of dealing with this critical issue.
Well, Peter, I'd like to transition a bit to freight transportation in the U.S. It's increasing in line with the growing population and increased economic activities. Could you describe for us trends in freight transportation and identify some of the research that Reader's pursuing in this area?
I think a lot of the trends in freight transportation kind of mirror the trends of the population as a whole. There is a lot of, urbanization. So there are certain locations that freight wants to go to heavily populated areas, which creates the kind of congestion that we were talking about. For example, if something needs to go on a train from one side of Chicago to another side of Chicago, the congestion in the Chicago area is so dramatic on the rail lines that it often creates a several-day delay in the carriage of that freight. So we must really look at it on a system-wide basis to understand where the bottlenecks are in freight movement and how to address them. And the Recovery Act of last year, U.S. Department of Transportation Tiger Grant Program, which sought to do targeted grants to address key transportation challenges and create jobs in the U.S., focused, for example, on rail congestion and easing rail congestion as a critical area for investment. And what you'll see from a lot of our investments in that program was it was targeted towards the kinds of things that will relieve this kind of congestion, which will have cross-cutting benefits in safety, in economic growth, and in emissions relief. But also, freight shippers are continually getting more sophisticated on how to get their goods from point A to point B. And that gets into identifying the right routings, the right modes of transportation to use for a particular shipment, which might be a different route, a different mode than that same shipment went on the previous year, based on changing traffic conditions, changing levels of congestion, and the like. Shippers are being made more aware of transportation alternatives, about available capacity on ships, about available capacity on railroad lines, and are able, based on great information technology that's much more available today, to make much more strategic decisions about how to ship. So basically, the trends in freight transportation are there's a continued growth in freight transportation. It's growing. It continues to grow at a healthy clip based on particularly increases in imports as a proportion of our economy, increases in trade in general as a proportion of our economy. There are going to continually be more and more ton miles of freight moved on the trucks, on the rails, on the ships. And shippers are going to continually need to get more sophisticated about how they make use of available capacity across every mode to best get their goods to market.
Throughout the conversation today, Peter, you've mentioned the need for better decision making, better planning, and data, information, and analysis is really critical to making those things happen. Would you offer some of the examples that Rita has through its Bureau of Transportation Statistics on how it's using statistics and analysis to identify and make improvements to the transportation system?
Well, one of the most significant products of the Bureau of Transportation Statistics is called the Commodity Flow Survey, which we conduct every 5 years to really get as clear as possible a picture of what goods are flowing from what part of our country to what other parts, into what parts, into which ports and out of which ports and the like. Take the results of that survey as an example of data we produce. How do we use it? First of all, we're not the only ones that use it. In fact, the private sector uses the results of this survey much more than the public sector. I used to use that results of that survey when I was in the private sector to help my clients make decisions about where to make investments in transportation. But how does the DOT use those data? Well, the Federal Highway Administration, which works closely with the states on investments in infrastructure, on investments in bridges and lanes and highways, needs to understand trends in where the freight not only flows today, but where it's going to be flowing 5 years from now or 10 years from now. And what kind of facilities are going to be needed, what kind of capacity is going to be needed, et cetera. So a good, solid analysis of freight flows is critical to making future transportation investments and policies. Another part of the Bureau of Transportation Statistics is the generation and analysis of airline operational data. We have tremendous amounts of airline operational data, whether it just be the origins and departures and arrivals of aircraft, the number of passengers on planes, the delays on planes. Those information are used by the FAA and by our aviation policy organization in the Office of the Secretary of Transportation to make critical decisions about infrastructure needs in aviation and to make decisions about public policy needs associated with aviation, but also used by the private sector, by the airline industry, by the airports community, to make decisions about their needs moving forward.
What does the future hold for DOT's Research and Innovative Technology Administration? We will ask its administrator, Peter Appel, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.